Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing better than those TVs are that Becca destroyed.
Yikes, yeah.
What did that TV ever do to her?
I know, they're perfectly fine.
TV is our friend,
it was
not our enemy.
It was the footage that was bad.
Yeah.
The footage that this show wants to keep reminding us. So they had to think of a way to incorporate it into basically every date this episode. And this was probably the most literal, was smashing TVs with her proposal on them. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, that seems unnecessary. Yeah, we'll get there. But first thoughts, fucking unnecessary.
And yeah, let's talking about unnecessary or necessary. We had revealed about, we alluded to it last episode. I think you had more background on it than I had about Garrett's Instagram likes. Mm-hmm. And he did issue an apology, which
that was shocking.
Yeah. That was, I suppose, necessary, but I don't know. Let's go through his apology and let me know your thoughts on if you think it was a good one or not, or sincere or not. Because when I did go back and dive more in depth into what the things he liked, there was some very shocking and very insensitive and hurtful things there that I don't know if you can just hide behind, like, oh, I was just randomly liking stuff.
Just, oh, whoops. And it was just like consistent and kind of around the same realm of subject matter.
Which
is just like not, it's like rude and tacky and just like not cool in so many ways.
Right.
Like, and that's just like baseline.
Yeah.
What's wrong?
So he says, so he closed his former Instagram account, then opened a new one and posted the screenshot, typed up apology, because it's a longer one, then you'd probably want to put in a caption. But like, you actually have to scroll over to for three different images to read the whole thing.
Oh, exactly what I want to do for you, Garrett. I want to give you that much time.
Right. So I'll try to read it fast. But he says, to those who I have hurt and offended, this is all new to me. I went on The Bachelorette for the adventure and possibility of falling in love, not fame. I did not know what to expect once the show aired. I am sorry to those who I offended, and I also take full responsibility for my likes on Instagram that were hurtful and offensive. He said, that was my former Instagram handle, and I decided to take it down and start fresh because I have learned an extremely valuable lesson, and I'm taking steps to grow, become more educated, and become a better version of myself. I am not perfect, and I will never be anywhere close, but now I will always be more informed and aware of what I am liking and supporting, not just on Instagram, but in life. I never realized the power behind a mindless double tap on Instagram and how it bears so much weight on people's lives. I did not mean any harm by any of it. My Instagram likes were not a true reflection of me and my morals. I am not the negative labels people are associating me with. For those who do know me, I am a sincere, genuine, loving, lighthearted, open-minded, and non-judgmental individual. I like to make new friends with anyone I meet and want everyone to find their happiness. I love to laugh often and enjoy seeing others do the same. I hope that someday you can get to know the real me and the man that I am. Let my mistakes be a lesson for those who mindlessly double-tap images, memes, and videos on any social media content. That could be many things, including hurtful, degrading, and dehumanizing. I do not want my social media to define who I am, and I will take better care moving forward to support all walks of life. Again, I sincerely apologize, and I'm sorry for any hurt, damage, or offense I may have caused. All right, your thoughts, Haley?
Okay. All right. That's the first time I'm hearing it, or like, I didn't read it or anything. If that is a sincere apology, that's a fairly decent one. Mm-hmm. I don't think it takes back the fact that he did do it. And I hope he genuinely is looking within himself to figure out, to understand why what he was, I don't know, because it seems so dumb, like, oh, he liked this on Instagram. But like, the things he was liking was like pretty shitty things, and I hope he understands like why people had an issue with those things and why it reflects badly on him, and not just like the fact that it does reflect badly. You know, and I hope he takes the time to really understand that, you know, the people who were attacked in those memes and the persecution that they faced on the daily. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, people can be so mindless with likes on Instagram. And but I don't believe that.
Like, how mindless can it be? You still have to read it.
You like still have it, to come across it somehow. Like, yeah. Regardless of, like, it came across your feed because you, A, liked it,
mm-hmm.
or follow people who post things like that, mm-hmm. or it's in your Explore tab and you are looking at things like that and liking things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how Instagram Explore tab works. Like, you like things, more stuff like that pops up. My Instagram Explore tab is all makeup, food, and gymnastics videos, like, because and corgis, because those are the things I double tap. Mm-hmm. So if you're double tapping rude memes, like, it's gonna show more. And so that came across his feed because he was probably liking other things like that. Like, this isn't the first thing he's agreed with. And I don't know. It's just.
Yeah. The part that, like, I really didn't like was that he's sort of like, oh, I didn't realize that people would take this so seriously or something. I didn't know how my likes would be. And I think that's downplaying a little bit. Like, it's the content of what it was, you know? It's not just like, oh, that you liked something.
And that's the thing with social media and the wording that is used. It's like, you like something, so that means you're supporting it. Like, you know, it might, even if it's an ironic fave or something, like, you're still, like, people can't read into that. And obviously, like, the things he was liking, it's like, how can you ironically double tap that? Like, if you're against it.
Like, believing that the crisis actors are, you know, the victims of the school shooting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that and other things. So.
It's hard for me to reckon with my thoughts on, do we give a guy a second chance because he made a mistake and he's making the steps to rectify it, and maybe not villainize this guy forever, or be like, well, he did this, he thought these things, he obviously agreed with them in some sort of way. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, is he just more like shocked and it's all new to him because this didn't think that that level would get discovered? I mean, he may have things that he deleted knowing he was going on the show, but not thinking that likes would be something that someone would scrutinize or be able to uncover, because people are sort of tending to give him more a benefit of the doubt, like, oh, well, it's not like he was posting this stuff, but he's endorsing it in a way, and it shows that it could be part of his worldview. And also, I'm just wondering, like, is it, like, if you're Becca, and let's say he makes it far, he could be who she ends up with. Let's hypothetically say that she's with him right now, and this never came up. She, you know, they don't have social media. Where does that put you right now if you're Becca? Because in a way, it's like, okay, someone uncovered this for me, but it doesn't fit with the guy I met. Or she came out with a statement about, like, she wants people to sort of follow her journey and get to know all the guys along with her. So I think, you know, you and I are trying to do that following the show, but it is hard to not have this damper in your opinion on someone. Yeah, for sure.
And it's, I don't know. It's just, if I was in Becca's shoes, like, I would be very disappointed and I would rethink things, honestly, because I don't know if I'd want to be with somebody who thought those things. Or you know, Becca has made it clear on her Instagram what her political views are, and, you know, if that I don't know if she'd be willing to be with somebody whose views didn't line up with hers. That's her prerogative, and that's, you know, if she feels like this is a teaching moment for him or for whoever she's with, and these subject matters didn't come up, and now it's kind of almost too late. I don't know. Like, it's just,
yeah, because it's almost one of those things that, you know, in modern dating, people look up someone's social media profile right away, or they exchange that information. And you can really, you know, in some ways it might be a drawback if it's like, oh, well, he does this one thing that he has this interest that I don't like or something. Next, you know, it could be a drawback in a dating profile or something, but also that could like really help inform if somebody really is a good match for you or not based on
what their interests
are and what their where their beliefs lie. And
because as much as you could say like, oh, I'm not my social media, like my social media isn't everything about me, like no, but it gives a like a not a preview but like a looking point into who you are as a person, what you like and what mm-hmm. you post and what you say and what you read and mm-hmm. like sorry, it's 2018. That's just how the world works now.
Right. Yeah. And so Becca talked about she loved not having the distraction of social media, but people, this was in the Hollywood Reporter, wondering if you should, it should be allowed because that could inform more things. But she said, I think the great thing about this process is we didn't have social media. We didn't have a distraction. I was able to truly get to know these guys for who they are without any added fodder or any distraction. I stayed open and really got to ask the right questions and open up to them as well. But, you know, you're on TV. They know they're being televised. Like how, you know, we see all these relationships break up after the show because sometimes they don't have those key conversations until they're off camera.
Yeah. So
I don't know how much what the balance would be, but. I don't know. It's interesting and interesting way to start the season with one guy in the spotlight in that way.
Yeah.
So speaking of your explore tab, I did some exploring on Instagram.
And, wow, you're great at the segues tonight.
So on a lighter note, I noticed that Becca had posted a picture with her sister, you know, the curly hair that's just like Leo's hair. And so I looked at her sister's feed and her sister, I think, is the owner of the beloved corgi that we've seen in these posts. That might explain why he's not in the mansion.
Devastating.
No.
I will say thank you to quite a few people who sent me pictures of their corgis, of their friends' corgis, links about corgis, and a couple of people are just like, I don't have a corgi, but here's my dogs, which I'm very into. So if you just want to, I don't know, email us pictures of your dogs, have at her. We love that shit.
Yeah, we do.
Send us pictures of your dog or cats.
You know, we must always come through. Yes. Yes, you have a very cute cat, Haley. So people can follow you on Instagram to see.
God, he's so beautiful.
Yes.
I just wish he loved me as much as I love him, you know?
Yeah. My dog loves me as long as I have food around.
So. Yeah. I still think about like the early days of our podcast and you know, the OGs, like you would remember this. Amy's dog would whine throughout the entire podcast.
He couldn't handle that. I was talking to someone else other than him.
And like she used to give him snacks so he would stop, so then he would just whine more.
I know. I created a monster. Now like I'm lucky that he, you know, we've got a better microphone situation and my boyfriend can watch him. And but he is like a much more vocal whiner these days than he was back then. So it would be a nightmare if I didn't have another solution right now.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we did get, speaking of our listeners always coming through, we had Erin Taylor on Twitter. She'd asked us a question. She thought that, you know, we talked about that guy Jake who Becca knew back in Minneapolis and got eliminated before the cocktail party. She thought that maybe his transformative year that he talked about was that he was in rehab, and I wasn't sure if that was mentioned or if that was just speculation, but she was able to find a podcast where he was interviewed, and it was not rehab or anything like that. It was more just like he refreshed his ideas on dating and had unrequited love, and he was working through like finding the right people to date. So thank you, Erin, for updating us on whatever that transformative year he did. Some self-improvement, I guess.
We could all use a little self-improvement.
Yeah. So I also listened to that interview, and he talked about the supposed times that he met with her before were at parties where they were like across the room and never interacted. So you know, two sides to every story.
Sure.
Yes. All right. So getting in to this week's episode, two group dates. one one-on-one date, which we alluded to. And the first group date was one of our, I don't know, I think it's kind of become a trademark kind of date across the seasons.
For whatever reason.
Right.
I don't know who's asking for a relay race, but.
Yes. And I think on, was it Rachel's season where we had Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis handle this? And now we get Rachel and Brian back on our screens. So not quite the A-list anymore, but they did come back to host this. Were you excited to see them back?
No, we just saw Rachel last week.
I know. We don't care about Brian, right?
No, we don't care about Brian.
Yeah. And we've seen this done with dressing up in bridal gowns on past seasons of Bachelor, running around. I think that was on maybe Chris Soule's season. No, well, then there's always like a farm date and getting like scooping up poop, something gross. And this one was they all got in tuxedos and had to race through various obstacles. And the winner, the prize was, as it turns out, a very important photo.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes.
They get to actually propose to Becca at the end because they have to redo her proposal. So first time this episode, we have to allude to it.
I tweeted this, but like, I truly don't know why I expected to not be smacked in the face by Ari the entire season.
I didn't expect it either, but apparently he's
like,
mentioned
an idiot
all the time.
Not expecting that. Like, obviously they're going to do that.
Yeah, I just thought they'd want to kind of distract from the failure. Himself. Yeah, and just kind of show it at the first episode and then kind of focus on Becca. Can we just enjoy Becca's presence on the show and her new relationships? Guess not. We have to sort of do all these like voodoo and things to diminish the memory, and but yet we're reminded every date about this. So,
like, why
storyline
reason?
I don't
it's
know.
Just frustrating.
Yes. So, of all the guys on this date, Clay, Nick, Chris R, David, Jean Blanc, Connor, Jordan, Lincoln. Lincoln ends up winning with a little bit of controversy. So maybe not the first controversy for Lincoln that we've heard about, but and probably not the last.
More like a contardversary. Oh gosh, I cracked myself up.
Yeah, why hasn't Becca responded to those rumors? She had to respond to the Garrett controversy, but
probably because this is true.
So he may have looked like he was maybe shaking the timer a little bit to kind of accelerate it so he didn't
is that what he was doing? Because they're like, he's cheating, but like I wasn't paying enough attention to see how he was cheating because
right.
I didn't care that much. Yeah.
Well, because these competitions, it never, like it used to be, you'd get something more valuable. Like, okay, everyone else has to go home and you get one-on-one time. And then it just kind of became, well, I think because the producers can't control who wins, then they don't want to rely on a competition to determine that one-on-one time or that group date rose, because maybe that's not someone that they want to keep around or that the lead wants to keep around. So, yes, Lincoln gets a photo, which Becca presents to him later. And the rest of the guys get really mad about Lincoln cheating, but especially about this photo that he displays later on. What's your take on this whole Connor versus Lincoln photo?
It's obviously so dumb that Lincoln was obsessed with being like, oh, everyone look at my photo. Like, look at, we're so perfect together. Everyone look at this. Like, obviously that was stupid and rude. But it's so funny to me how fast the Bachelor or the Bachelorette like gets into people's heads.
Yeah.
And, like, Connor, what are you doing? Just let him be a D-bag. He'll D-bag himself out.
Right.
Like, you, like, nothing good can come from you smashing the picture and throwing it in the pool. Like, you think Becca's going to be like, oh, dude, that's so cool. Like, no, she won't. She'll be like, ew.
I gave that to him. Yeah. Why? Like, such an overreaction, I think, is what she said, and or aggressive, and that's true. Like, why do you care? This is like, I think she also said this is really early for something like this to happen.
Like, yeah.
So yeah, just let it be and like talk to other guys and laugh about it and come back to the mansion and laugh about it. But to go to that level of like, okay, I'm going to like throw some pool, break some glass. Yeah, it definitely shows that it gets in their head that they're, because it wasn't just Connor. I mean, he's the one who did that, but all the other guys were really pissed off about Lincoln showing the photo and displaying it on a date when they should just be laughing it off.
Yeah, like, and it's even, not that big of a deal.
No.
It's all cooler jets here.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else from this date? Jean Blanc got the
birthday rose. Oh, my God. Does he just keep getting better or what? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad Becca's buying into him as much as we are, or I am at least. I don't want to speak for you, but I am buying into Jean Blanc.
Yeah, they had a much better connection, I think, than she had. Even though Lincoln spoke more highly of their kiss, I think he said a Pegasus flying to the moon. That's what Becca, and then dancing on a pot of gold with unicorns is what he compared kissing Becca to. And I think Jean Blanc had just a more like standard response. But I think they had looked like they had a lot more chemistry.
And it was just like really natural chemistry too.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Listen, I was very into this. Yes. VVV into it.
Yes. And it was just great to see the reaction of Lincoln thinking he's getting that rose. And then she's like, Jean Blanc. So that's always fun when there's that person that's so sure they're getting it. And then she did talk to Connor and they definitely showed him that that his behavior wasn't cool, which he should have known to begin with, but made him like realize that, yeah, that was pretty idiotic. And so we see later in the episode he comes back with a photo at the cocktail party for her to throw, and then he's like throwing away the old Connor, which apparently worked because he stuck around, so at least he's able
to, like, that was kind of like a funny way to go about it.
Yeah. At least he was
like clever and being like, yeah, I made a mistake. Like, I was acting like a D-bag.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the next date is the one-on-one date that we knew was coming up. And she chooses Blake to go on this date where they just smash a bunch of stuff. And I think I've heard of these places that they'll set this up and people can work out their anger on various things. Apparently they're pretty popular in certain cities where people have to relieve their stress in different ways.
I would just rather cry about it and then make passive aggressive comments for the next 3 years. That's how I deal with my anger.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I'd love to see Becca doing that about Ari rather than just like, okay, you've done this. Lil Jon is playing, DJing.
Why was any of this happening? Why again are we being reminded by of Ari? Why are we smashing things? Why is Lil Jon there?
Just gotta get that.
Why?
Know.
For what? For like, someone please email me saying like this is the reason Lil Jon was there.
Right.
Whether it's he's a big fan of the show, he was paid an exorbitant amount of money. You know, he hates Ari for whatever reason. Just like, where did he fit in here?
Right. I think it's just to provide a soundtrack, make it maybe more appealing for Blake to be there. Because it just seemed like it seemed really weird for Blake to be joining in on this. And I don't know, because everything was somehow tied to her dates with Ari.
Like the couch was there. Like,
yeah.
So you paid this Airbnb, however many dollars, like for that couch.
Yeah.
And that replaced mirror, their couch for and them. Whatever.
It was an ugly couch too for that nice house. Yeah. It's got all that stuff. Then I did go to like a nicer place after, made out against a wall. So overall, I guess
that it was a successful hot date.
Yeah. Not too bad. So is Blake a front runner in your eyes?
Usually I think
the first
so.
One-on-one is, I would say.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that just because he's on my draft team. but it'll be interesting to see the curse of the first date, you know, because usually that person kind of freaks out a bit because they're not getting as much attention as they had been used to.
Right. Then so they have to get demoted to a group
chill.
Date. He does. And it seemed like they could kind of relate on past relationships. He had one kind of end in a similar time frame as hers where it seemed really serious, and then 2 months in she broke up with him. So sounds like they're coming out of something a little similar, and she really liked his entrance. And they talked about meeting at the after the final rose as being the first part of their story. So they're already building that little narrative. So I think that all points to good signs for him. Let's see. So he obviously gets the rose. And then, although one thing I noticed at the beginning of the episode, I just put it in my notes, is Blake at the beginning was talking to the rest of the guys. And he's like, one of you guys is going to get married. Like, it was just, I just thought that was an interesting way to phrase it. Not one of us is going to get married. So just it like triggered me a little bit, like, is he just like distancing himself or just kind of thinking like he's not in the running? And it's just there for the experience. So that's interesting. Yeah. And then we have the third date. And again, they manage in a dodgeball date to find a way to.
Quick question. Was there like significantly more guys on this date than the first date?
Let's see. I think so. There were.
It seemed like the names were going on forever.
I think there were 12 on this date. And I don't think there were that many on the last one. It was. No, it was 8.
That's so, yeah, so weird, right?
There's a lot. Yeah. They had to stack these dodgeball teams, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah,
and there are only two guys who didn't get to go. Mike and Jason being like, oh, we didn't get a date. We're nervous. Guys, that's a good sign. That means you're staying to the next week.
Yeah, I think maybe once that it didn't happen that way. But yeah, it's kind of rough to get rid of someone that didn't even get a chance. So,
yeah.
Right. And Mike continues on our listener draft. Didn't get any group date points, but he lives another day. And yeah, so there were 12 on this one. It was Garrett, Ricky, John, Ryan, Wills, Colton, Kristen, Leo, Ryan, Trent, Ricky, and Alex. I think it was Trent, Ricky, and Alex. Last ones on my list. I think they all got eliminated. Yeah. So they found a way to allude to Ari in the state as well with like three little kids greeting these guys at the gymnasium, throwing dodgeballs at them and just saying like, I don't know, something about like, you gotta get over, she has to get over that loser from last time. And so, yeah, it's definitely a storyline. But what did you think of having a dodgeball championship hosted by Chris Harrison and Fred Willard?
Like, what is Fred Willard doing on this show? Like, why? Fred, you're better than this.
Did his agent negotiate like a 3 series arc or something? Because it made sense for the dog show, right? But not necessarily dodgeball.
Didn't it make sense for the dog show?
Well, because he was in Best in Show, which was it's an old movie, but it did have like something to do, you know.
Was he in dodgeball?
No, I don't think so. They just maybe enjoyed him or who knows. But yeah, pink and green team. Was there any like incentive to win for the team?
No, just like pride. These teams are run on pride. It's embarrassing.
I think they should have done what they did with that bowling one on Ari's season and just really make it like, okay, the rest of you have to go home and the winning team gets extra time and then Becca decides, no, I want all of you, and then have someone have another huge freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had a huge audience for this as well, it seemed like.
Would you show up to watch grown men play dodgeball on a bouncy mat?
No, and just knowing that's for The Bachelorette, like, it probably took several hours to watch, you know, just those three little matches go down. The main storyline, I guess, of the different teams was Kristen would still throw the ball at Becca. He didn't care about, you know, hitting her with the ball, which she ended up saying she didn't care about. And then Leo was like the only one on his team that had any dodgeball skills. So he won one match kind of single-handedly. But
Leo's a little too serious for me.
Yeah, I agree. I can't quite figure him out.
Oh, also, someone said, someone sent me something Reality Steve said.
Okay.
Saying that Leo was in some softcore porns that were like murder softcore porns.
Wow.
Interesting. So if that's something you're into.
Yeah, it's a little bit different job description than stuntman. Yeah. Maybe there are stunts involved with that too, but.
Maybe.
Interesting.
I'm probably not going to look it up.
No. Yeah. I mean, I know you're not a fan of murder, so.
I'm not a fan of murder. I like true crime, but I don't want to watch murder.
Yeah. Interesting. But yet, not super surprising. I don't know. I can see it.
Yeah. You're just like, yeah, you weren't like, what? It was like, okay, yeah, story checks out.
Right. Let's see. We have, then they have their little, after the activity part of the date, then that's where they just go have their like kind of cocktail party, have the one-on-one time. She had a good connection with Will. She loved his jacket. Then Colton had the big secret to tell. What did you think of this reveal? This big reveal, Haley.
This is kind of like a secret. Like this is a deal, I think. I don't know. Like I feel like this is a bigger deal than he's never got his D.
I thought that's what he meant when he said I have to like tell this story.
Yeah, I thought that's where this was going too. Like, no, he, for those who don't watch, he dated Tia from last season. And I thought Becca handled it better than I would have.
Mm-hmm.
I would just straight up never trust him for like a bevy of reasons. Like, oh, so you showed up here thinking it was going to be Tia. And even if you didn't, oh, you're just trying to get with people who are tangentially famous. So you can get slightly more tangentially famous.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like, or you broke it off with her because then it would eliminate your chance to be on the show. There's just all sorts of reasons that it would just come in. And it didn't seem like he was super reassuring about any of those things. Just kind of like, okay, I understand why you feel that way. He didn't really say, I don't know, his only explanation was like, yeah, it wasn't like a huge spark. You had a little spark, it didn't grow into flame, so I'm here for you. But
the way he did it was he slid into her DMs, which seems to be kind of his move.
Like they're not from the same place.
Yeah, because like with Ali Raisman, he kind of like sort of slid into her DMs. He like asked a question on a sports thing.
Right. So I think she was the contestant that appeared to him, that appealed to him the most.
I think he's a social climber.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's my theory.
Yeah. No. And she, Becca, had eliminated people the last round for, you know, just that immediate reaction thinking, yeah, I don't get the vibe that you're here for the right reasons. So it's interesting that she kept him around, but not surprising since you tweeted out, we know he's staying because he's been featured in all the coming on next time on or this season on the Bachelorette footage. So
no suspense.
Yeah.
When he was the last person to be like,
exactly.
Oh, and conveniently enough, oh, well, Tia and other gal pals are going to be there next week. And they just happened to show up on the date Colton is on.
Yeah.
Like, who could have ever imagined?
Exactly. Yeah, we knew that they'd be coming back. They weren't featured in the first episode. And we knew that they'd have to be involved in some sort of date, but not just perfect. Perfect timing that Colton sticks around and then is going to have to face the music and she can kind of have the confrontation. And I don't know, I'm guessing it goes well because it seems like he's going to stick around longer than that. Based on
unless he says I love you next week.
And then good.
Weirdo.
And maybe the fact like when he does reveal that he's a virgin, then maybe she's like, oh, okay, it wasn't like a super serious relationship that they had. Maybe that helps things out. I don't know. Yeah. Trying to look at the other options for him. But what could be interesting is if he is not who Becca ends up with, is he a contender for Bachelor in Paradise? Because obviously,
I mean, Tia obviously. Is.
So,
yeah, that's happening.
Yeah, it's just very incestuous. All right. Wills gets the group date rose. What are your thoughts on Wills?
I'm very into him.
Yeah, they had a good connection too. I liked that. We didn't really see a whole lot of other, it was kind of montage-y little moments.
We saw Jordan take all of his clothes off. Or wait, was that in the rose ceremony?
Rose ceremony, cocktail party.
Yeah. I thought he did it here too.
Probably wanted to. That's probably where he started thinking about it.
Who's that? Who's the other guy? Eric?
David, the one that Jordan.
David.
The chicken guy.
He sucks too, eh?
I know. Yeah, that was.
Just leave people alone. Just stop.
Just let them like dig their own grave.
Yeah, exactly. Just because what you're doing is worse, honestly.
Yeah, I kept trying to make himself look smarter.
You think you know better. Yeah.
I'm articulate. It's like, if you have to say that, then you really aren't. You're really a douchebag. But Jordan's move was to strip down to his boxers and walk around the cocktail party.
Fair. If I looked like that, I probably would too.
It's interesting he didn't do it the first night, but he had to really show off his suit and socks, I guess, right?
Yeah. He's got style.
Yeah. We had a couple other little mini dates. Clay did like a football celebration. John read a poem.
He is unbelievably boring.
He really is.
Wow. He is the cure for insomnia.
Yeah, like that was a cute move, but it wasn't like very.
Jordan calls it insomnity.
Insomnity. Yeah. I like the move, but I agree. There's no personality there. John, Venmo guy, read a poem. I'm already sick of poems.
You know how I feel about poems.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. John is very rich.
Right.
So I will suffer through a poem for a rich guy.
Yeah, I think his poem could just be like a two-line poem. Just find something that rhymes with Venmo, and then you're good, right?
Yeah, perfect.
This is when Connor gave her the photo to throw in a pool, and Becca really did like that, so I think that bought him points until they get to kind of spend more time together. He stuck around. He saw Jordan and David going back and forth, arguing, and it just made me hate both of them. As far as who got roses, let's see. We have Chris R. He's the tattletale guy.
I hate him too. Like, I really hate him.
Yeah, he's no good.
Jason. He's like a low rent Ben Stiller.
Yes. Jason is one of the guys who I think didn't get the date. John is the Venmo.
Yeah.
We have Clay, boring football player. Mike, the long hair. Connor, the photo guy. Leo, long hair. Other long hair. David, chicken guy. Garrett, we all know. Nick, totally invisible, right? Ryan, also very invisible. He's a banjo guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, basketball player. Jordan, model. Lincoln, we all know. And Colton was the dramatic last one to receive the rose. We already had Blake, Jean Blanc, and Wills had their roses. So that means that Trent, Alex, and Ricky were eliminated. Were you sad to see any of those guys go? Do you remember them?
No. I don't know who they are.
Right. So that's where we stand. Let's see if I can pull up our draft. Tallied, as always, by the wonderful @GeorgeCTV. He keeps our draft alive. And
without him, we would have given up 3 years ago.
Right. And let's see, Haley, you moved up into second place. But of course, Melissa is still in the lead. She didn't lose anybody.
Of course not.
Yes. She still has her top five from the draft, as do you, Haley. You have Blake, Ryan, Jean Blanc, John, and Leo. And Melissa's top five are Garrett, Wills, Lincoln, David, and Jason. And she also has Nick and Connor left. So, Haley, you lost Ricky and Alex, and I lost Trent. And mine are kind of more scattered. I lost, I have my
yours
two and three.
Yours are all in, like, your top seven, six.
Yeah, I know. I have two and three still there, and then my bottom three are still there. Jordan's keeping me alive, I think, my last pick. So we have that. The totals. Melissa has 35. Haley, you have 32. I have 29. So at this point, it's still anybody's game. I'm going to try to be optimistic. And then we have lots of wonderful questions from our wonderful audience. So let me get these pulled up here. Haley, while I do that, can you let people know how to email us?
You can email us your long form questions or pictures of your dog to bachelorwrapup@gmail.com. You could always also find our thread on the Rub Has Podcast Facebook page, or if you're in the Patreon group, I always post one in there. The last couple episodes, I've been posting the thread on Tuesday morning because by the time The Bachelor is over, I am tired and I just want to go to bed.
Yes. So it gives everybody time to catch up too. You know, if you're on a different...
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to get spoiled then by questions that people ask if you're on the West Coast, for example.
Yeah.
Yeah. All great right. Point.
Thanks for supporting my laziness.
We have... This first question is more... not about the episode, but Kyle Picard wanted to know, kind of off topic, but did you see the Daniel M. / Polly / Cara Marie drama?
Okay. Amy, do you ever watch The Challenge?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So Cara Maria is on The Challenge. She's from that. This next season coming soon, Polly is going to be on it. Okay. Allegedly, and I don't know if this happened on the show or after the show, whatever, but mm-hmm. allegedly Polly cheated on Danielle from The Bachelor, obviously, mm-hmm. With Cara Maria.
Mm.
And so apparently came out in Us Weekly that Danielle is really devastated, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of messy.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle, we wholeheartedly support you. Polly has always been sucky.
So it's not shocking on that side of things, but
no, but I love this hot take from Matt Liguori. He says, this relationship was never real and both parties' lives are more than fine. Their names are being kept in circulation and that's the only thing they and their PR managers are interested in. The end.
Mm.
Wow, I love it.
I guess I held Danielle M. to a higher standard than that, but it's possible. Yeah. We wish you well, Danielle. We're on your side. Here, another email. This is from George. Dear Haley and Amy, did anyone else notice the irony? Becca chastised Connor for destroying the picture she gave Lincoln because it reminded Connor of the relationship between Becca and Lincoln. Becca then went on the one-on-one date with Blake that consisted of them destroying anything that reminded her of her relationship with Ari. Okay. And then another question. Also, every morning before you put your shoes on, before you put your socks on, your pantyhose on, do you put your confidence on? Thanks, George. All right. I totally did not see the irony, but it's really funny.
Yeah, it is. I pointed
that out.
Yeah.
Because it's very ironic.
Yeah, it is funny. I think maybe part of it was that the Becca date was like a planned smash fest where the photo incident was like, clearly he lost it a bit.
Yeah.
But George is totally right.
Yeah, and maybe like the other element of Connor's is that he took someone else's gift or souvenir property and did that. So where, yeah, the other one was like controlled and knew it. Everyone agreed to it, I guess. And then he alludes to Jordan's advice that he gave Becca on their date where they got all pampered and dressed up in tuxes. Got to put your confidence on in the morning. Haley, is this something you practice?
No, I roll out of bed about 30 minutes before I have to get out the door.
Yes.
I don't have time to put my confidence on.
Yeah, I can barely find anything to wear in the morning. So, and it's been a while since I've actually worn pantyhose.
I'm planning to wear them tomorrow because it's cold.
Yeah. But it's kind of funny. But I love too that back on that date was like, wait, you're a model. You're probably so offended that she didn't know that or assume that.
Yeah.
Remember that from when she met him. And then from the Facebook thread, Nicole Chung. Instead of having a first impression rose on night one, they should have a hidden immunity rose or two. That would be hilarious.
That would be funny. But Nicole, you know the producers would leave it like in places where the people who they want to stay would find it.
Yeah, they'd lead them directly to it. But it would be hilarious to see, you know, like the, I guess on night one would be like Jordan or the chicken suit guy to get it and have everyone else get really mad that they had no control over who found it. Casey Boyd, who on your fantasy teams are you rooting for the most? Who do you don't see has any chance of winning? And who on either one of the other teams do you think is your biggest competition? Thanks and love the podcast.
I love this question. Yeah. Who am I rooting for the most? As a legitimate winner candidate, I would say Blake. As a Haley Strong boyfriend candidate, Jean Blanc, obviously.
Yeah.
And who is the biggest competition on the other team? Well, I think Colton, I would say. Melissa has Colton, I believe. He's just kind of like
Colton.
A
bit. She has Garrett.
Oh, okay, yeah. So probably Colton and Garrett are two people who I think are going to make us super far. Let me see who else everyone has. I was jealous of Wills. I like Wills a lot.
Mm-hmm. Who do you see doesn't have any chance?
On my team?
Mm-hmm.
John, Leo.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't seen enough of them.
Really, I'm putting all of my eggs in the Blake basket. I have Blake, Ryan, Jean Blanc, John, and Leo. And I would be shocked if John and Leo made it past next week.
Yeah. Well, and even Ryan, like, he seems so strong, but we haven't seen anything from him.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm kind of... Again, now I'm like not so into Garrett at all, but it seems like they had a little connection on their date this time. They were like down by a pool area and they just seemed to really like each other. And let's see, I do really like Jean Blanc. I hope he's goes far. And on my team, I'm rooting for Colton. I think it's an interesting storyline. And it seems like he'll be there a while. And I have a lot that have no chance. Jordan. Clay actually looks like the Chris that we don't like. Seems like, I mean, he gets a one-on-one next week. So, but I'm not rooting for him.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, shit. He's going home.
Maybe.
There's no way he's making it through the date. Come on, guys.
Although now, like, it definitely did him a favor to not have that guy that she got rid of that other guy. Because otherwise, you know, they'd probably just be continuing to battle it out. And it's not a good look. So, we'll see. All right. We also have... from Casey West, anyone else experiencing deja vu with this guy? Villains got a vill. So she sent a picture of JJ, former Bachelorette contestant and VIP contestant, and Connor. And it says, but seriously, smashing a glass frame and throwing it in a pool, was he going to clean that up? I don't think he cleaned that up.
That seems dangerous. That seems like super dangerous.
They definitely had to drain that pool and vacuum up the broken glass. That should warrant an immediate elimination for unbelievable lack of consideration. Well, that would require the producers to get rid of someone who's causing drama, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was pretty ridiculous. Does he remind you of JJ?
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, for sure. Patrons had some questions. Justin Feinberg, can you think of a more horrifying sight to walk out of a limo to than Chris Harrison wielding a sledgehammer? This is a good point. Chris Harrison actually showed up to this date, but he is standing there with a sledgehammer.
Yep.
It's a horror movie sight.
That's like your perfect horror movie.
It is. Oh, man. But yeah, I guess he earned his paycheck that he stepped outside the mansion.
Yeah.
Randy Knuppel. did Colton solidify his place in paradise in this episode?
Hundo.
Mm-hmm. Matt Geoghegan, which is the wiser piece of life advice that Jordan offered this week? A, before you put your socks on or your pantyhose or your shoes even, put your confidence on. Or B, to be honest, nothing attracts a woman more than like being comfortable next to a sexy man. Okay, I don't even understand what he meant by B. Like,
I don't know either.
Does he mean that he's comfortable next to a sexy man, or that the other guys are comfortable, or that she's comfortable?
I don't know. It's funny. After last, and then Matt goes on to say, personally, I think both of these statements are very wise and prove that Jordan is very multidimensional, not just some guy with hair. So after last week's podcast, Matt texted me being like, how do you hate Jordan? He's the best. I love Jordan. I'm like, are you effing serious right now, man? So Matt said, like, oh, I guarantee you're going to love him by the end of the season. Still not there.
Not there yet. Not
love.
Yeah.
But I did say to Matt, at least he makes me feel things. Uh-huh. It is anger. But uh-huh. Why is this happening? Why are you here?
We at least remember him. Yeah. So he's achieving, I'm sure, what he wanted to get by going there. And then Tim Shields, is Jordan for real?
Could someone act like that?
I don't know.
Because, like, I think the closest sphere, I guess, I could think of is Waboom. And I didn't think Waboom was for real. Like, I thought he was definitely putting on an act. But, like, Jordan, I feel like he takes himself very seriously.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Wilhelmina model, and there's only like 110 of those in the world or in the US or whatever he meant.
Cool.
Yeah. So. We also, speaking of male models, got a question on Twitter from Molly H. Malhanes. She says, if you haven't recorded the pod yet, can you please take some time to compare contrast male models, Jordan and Chris Noble? They both like to invent words. Beneficiary and ingenuity? No, that's the right word. Ingenuinity. Ingenuinity. You know. I can't even say it. I found Chris Noble more amusing, but they both take themselves really seriously.
Yeah.
And I guess Chris didn't want everyone to know he was a model right away. So he's able to sort of contain it.
Chris was like slightly more chill.
Yeah. He was multidimensional in the sense that he was also a rapper. So he could rhyme words.
Stop.
Yes, but definitely there's a strong comparison there. That's exactly who he reminded me of. Mary Kwiatkowski. I'm living for all of Jordan's comments. He is by far the most entertaining, with maybe Leo being a distant second. Please explain to me why people continue to make their entire purpose on the show creating conflict with some other dude. Like, David could be fine if he wasn't wasting his time with Jordan. Are they bored? Have they never seen this show before? This tactic literally never works. My only guess is that he just doesn't care at all about winning. Also, Blake looks like Miles Teller. And while the car smashing stuff might have been fun, is it just me, or would you hate to go on a date that's completely centered around an ex? I felt bad that Blake had to hear Ari's name so many times in that date. Yeah.
All right, let's go through point by point.
Yes.
Yeah. Mary, maybe you should talk to Matt and you guys can talk about how much you love Jordan. I agree with you. I don't understand why people make their purpose about creating conflict with another dude. Maybe it's because they like know that they don't quite have it with Becca, and uh-huh. they don't like seeing other guys have a connection with her, especially if they don't like that guy, or they want to be seen as better than that person, or they're just like straight up bored. Like, they're so bored. Yeah.
And I think they're coming across well. Like, oh, I'll be the guy on the show that isn't like having this guy, you know?
Yeah.
But it never does work out that way. It's not funny. You just look like you're.
It just makes me hate him just as much as I hate Jordan.
Right. Yeah. It looks like you can't handle your own. Like, you can't just deal with an annoyance.
Also, thank you for understanding when I called him Eric that I meant
David. Yes.
He looks like an Eric.
Similar type name in a way. I don't know why, but yeah, it's just sort of like a classic bachelor name.
And yeah, you're totally right. It sucks that Blake had to go on a date where it was just like, oh, we're just talking about Ari the entire time.
Right. It's funny that she said he looks like Miles Teller.
Someone else tweeted this, that.
Yeah. I see it now. But I didn't think that. He actually reminded me of, this is like a more dated reference, which, but there's an actor, Harlan Williams, who's in Something About Mary, and he's like much older, but I feel like he looks like a younger version of him. So
I'm Googling. Oh, yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see
kind of the ears and stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. But I think Miles Teller is probably a more flattering comparison. let's see. Yeah, I agree that it didn't seem like a fun date. Like, let's put it the other way around. Like, if Nick took someone on, like, took Vanessa on a date to, like, smash things with Caitlin and Andy on them, like, that'd just be
ridiculous.
That would
just look really bad on him.
Right. So, well. And then, oh, Sarah Benitez had the same observation. Is Jordan more than just a mini Chris Noble? Beneficiary ingenuity, I can't even say his word, ingenuity, which one made you laugh more?
I'm really excited for professionality.
Yeah, I like professionality next time. It's easier to pronounce than his other one, but I love that he was like correcting David on like what the word was.
Mm-hmm.
I was just very confident about that. So, but maybe because beneficiary was like the first time that I noticed, you know, like that they were really like zoning in on it as mm-hmm. an editing point for Survivor, that made me laugh more. Aaron T. Putnam, is anyone buying Colton's persona, and how much do we think he was talking to Tia because he thought she would be the bachelorette? It all feels wrong.
Dun dun dun.
I'm not finding like a whole bunch of like personality with him yet.
Yeah,
so,
really.
Buying it, not buying it so much. How much were they talking?
They had hung out for like an entire weekend or something.
So it has to be quite a bit to like just agree to meet in someone's hometown.
Yeah.
Like that's the hometown date stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So it could have been like very early on in her season. I guess we'll find out next week. Ariel Kalish Glassman, ding, marry, kill. Let's do the damn thing. Not gonna lie. And nervous and excited.
Okay, I'm ready to kill. Let's do the damn thing.
Yes.
I'm gonna ding, not gonna lie, because I think that's a pretty good one. Uh-huh. And I'm gonna marry nervous and excited, because as somebody who deals with constant anxiety, nervousness is just like a part of my existence, and anytime I feel excited about anything, it just feels like nervousness.
I like it. I agree. And then Felipe Shimon, who is this season's Diggy? Okay, so does he mean like who our podcast boyfriend is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm obviously going for Jean Blanc.
Yeah.
He's and my podcast boyfriend.
He has the cologne collection, Diggy, yeah. The shoe collection.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're both very like suave and like babes.
Yeah.
So.
And we'll be devastated
but,
if
like, not,
Jean Blanc gets eliminated at the same stage.
But not
as Diggy.
Like douchey suave.
Right.
Just like the right amount.
Polished. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. That's all we have this week. That was a lot of great questions, though. I always love when there's new observations or things we forgot to mention during
the podcast. Just think about things that we never thought
about. It's like, oh, yeah. So, always fun. So, thank you all for sending in your questions. Haley, where?
Oh, I have some text tapes, I forgot.
Yes.
Okay. Let me find them. Da, da, da. Okay. The most traumatic moment of the whole whole episode was when my dad thought the broken glass from the toss picture got in the pool. He's worried now for everyone's safety.
Oh,
yeah, I would be too.
Total dad move.
Did it get in the pool? Like, I know at the restaurant, if we break a glass over the ice bin, we have to completely empty the ice bin. I mean, that's
right.
Mainly because we don't want people consuming glass, but I feel like that'd be a very similar thing for the pool.
Right. You know?
He says, I hate Colton. I hate that he can date whoever he wants. I hate that his few years in the football means he never has to work again. And I hate people like him. I hope he crashes and burns on life. Wow, Doug. Wow. That's a lot of resentment.
Yes. That's so funny.
Does Leo look like a young and much more attractive Eugene Levy?
Whoa. Interesting pull there.
I don't know. What do you think?
I have to refresh my Google image search here. Interesting. I'm going to have to look for that next week. I thought he sounded like Christian Slater. That was the voice that I got from him. So I'm going to pay more attention next week.
Okay, this one made me laugh very hard. I hope that Clay, a man with no neck and as much personality as the flaccid, colorless goo his name betrays, wins the show. He gives all of us socially awkward weirdos home.
Oh my gosh. Is Clay going to be the guy? Is he going to be like the... I mean, I wouldn't compare him to Benzie, except in the sense that he could be on Bachelor in Paradise and then all he would talk about is like one certain topic. And
but
no,
we
one
loved
would want to go on
Ben dates. Z. Like, there was something about Ben Z that we loved. Was it that he was hot?
I think it's just that he was hot and that he didn't last as long as he thought. I know. Like, I think we thought like he had this great personality, and then Paradise kind of took the facade away that we were hoping for.
Is the ambulance next week for A, Kristen after a high flying dunk gone wrong? B, Clay after the producers confused his boring demeanor with a goal? One of the other nameless losers after they cut themselves on the glass that's still in the pool.
Ooh, that'd be perfect. I hope it's Connor.
Oh,
it looks like it was David to me. It looked like chicken
guy.
God,
I don't care. It was so much.
So maybe he, like, I don't know. There was a lot of blood, it sounded like. It's weird.
He probably just tripped and fell.
Yeah. Bloody nose. Something lame.
Yeah. Probably pulled an Evan, is just faking it.
Could be. Yes. All right. Well, Haley, how can people find you?
You can find me, as always, on Instagram and Twitter at @hstrong_.
Yes. And you can find me at RJP Recapper. Oh, and we should note, I don't think we noted this yet, that George CTV, always reliable, came through with a note that it looks like next week the episode will be on Tuesday due to the NBA finals. Haley, do you follow the NBA finals?
No. I don't. I should, but I just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
I was pretty hurt.
Drags on forever.
So.
Yeah. I watched like when the Timberwolves were playing and they got out right away. So it's just like, I can't believe it's still going on. It's June. It's crazy. But yeah, they're going to have Game 5 scheduled on Monday night, so it's likely that I don't know that they'd move it back to Monday if that game isn't necessary, but so keep your eye out for that. Your DVRs are all scheduled, or your viewing parties are scheduled accordingly, and we'll have the podcast out soon afterwards, but not
one of those days.
One of those days afterwards.
We don't know if we're going to stick to our usual recording time. No, obviously we can't stick our regular recording time, but maybe recording night. But I'm very delicate and I like to go to bed early, so that might not be.
Yes.
But we might record Wednesday. So, you know, just let us know. Like, do you guys like when we record right after the episode? Like, I know it's not...
We can't get all the questions in.
Yeah, I know the West Coast people don't love it. But let us know what you'd rather us do.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So. Thank you, everybody. And we will catch you sometime next week.
Bye.